Our scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 16. We're going to be looking at verses 7 through 15. These are the words of Jesus as he's sharing with his disciples. He says, "But truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. And all that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you." Most of you know that Sherry was involved back in 2006, and it was a number of years later we were finally coming to a point of arbitration with the insurance company and trying to get some of her expenses paid for and her medical bills, and they took care of the car like within a month, but all of her physical needs, it took years to get to that point of arbitration. And what we found interesting was, as we went to the arbitration meeting, we were there with our attorney, and the arbitrator came in. He was a retired judge or something like that, and he came in to introduce himself before the arbitration meeting began. And so he just wanted to come in. He said he always does that, just likes to meet with both sides independently and just introduce himself and get to know them just a little bit before all the parties come together. And he sat there and he asked Sherry and I a few questions and where we were from and about life. He made an interesting remark. He said, "You are not at all what I expected." You see, he had read the insurance thing that pretty much laid out that we were trying to rip off the insurance company, that we made it a habit of lying about things and so on and so forth. And he said, "You know, you are not those people at all. You seem like very nice people," which I think we are, and hopefully that proves out to most people that we meet. I think the same thing can be said as we think about the Holy Spirit, is that he's not quite what we expected. And so we find in our scripture today, Jesus introducing us to the Holy Spirit. Now, sometimes I think we get a little nervous. I know as a kid, what I heard was the Holy Ghost, not the Holy Spirit. Although Spirit and Ghost are really words, synonyms that can go together out there. But Ghost sounds a little more scarier, unless it was Casper the Friendly Ghost, right? But, we had that connotation, this is a supernatural being, this Holy Spirit. But if you really think about supernatural, so is the Father and the Son. They are both supernatural. Now, the Son actually encapsulated himself in human form like you and I, but he was still all divine. He was supernatural as well. And so we find that all three persons of God are supernatural. We find Jesus introducing us to the Holy Spirit just a couple chapters before our scripture today. In chapter 14, verse 16, Jesus says, "I'm going to send another one just like me." In the Greek, it's parakletos is the Greek word, and it's a legal word for advocate. We know that sort of as lawyer in our terms, but in reality, it's one who acts on behalf of another as a helper, as a legal advocate, an advisor, or an intermediary of some kind. And it depends on what English translation you look at. In our NIV reading today, it was advocate, and a number of other English translations, quite a few of them in various places throughout the Gospels and in the New Testament, translate this Greek word as advocate. But a couple other words in some of the English translations in a couple different places in our scriptures, he's the helper or the counselor or the comforter. It gives you an idea, and as I was reading about this parakletos Greek word, it says it's more than just that legal word. There is this, there's more to it, and it's hard to put into one English word what this is. But Jesus said it's one just like him. Even as John described him in one of his letters in 1 John, he described Jesus as a paraclete, a mediator. But he used that Greek word of parakletos. And as we were introduced in chapter 14 of the Gospel of John, Jesus continues there in chapter 15 and talks about the vine and how we are to be connected to him. And if we read in between the lines as he's been introducing us to the Holy Spirit, we realize that it is the Holy Spirit who is really making that connection. We as the branches are connected to Jesus, but we're connected because of the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives. Our scripture this morning nearly a dozen times refers to the Holy Spirit as he, him, or his. And one thing I had to learn for myself, and I think maybe some of you have had to learn or maybe still need to learn, is that the Holy Spirit is not an it. He is a person, just like you and me, and yet supernatural. He has all the qualities that make him a person because he is God himself. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. But as we look at our scripture today, not only did Jesus introduce him to his disciples and to us, he gave us some insight to him as well. You know, we have to spend time with someone to learn about them. Sherry and I have found it interesting here of late. You know, there are some things we just sort of know what the other one's thinking, and some of the ones that have been married longer than us have said, yeah, it gets a little scary on that front. Sometimes you could even complete one another's sentences. But we also have found that we still are learning about each other. There's little things that just come up and, well, if I knew that, I sort of forgot. Or maybe it's just something new that we learned. Just some little like or dislike or whatever it is. But also the other things that we learn are things that happened before our relationship started. And some of that came up here recently. Sherry's granny's house down on Benham Road has been recently entirely remodeled. Someone bought it and just sort of gutted it out and redid it all. And it's got everything new other than the original studs, I think. And it brought back memories as we went down on a Saturday and just peeked in the windows and took some pictures. And it was all remodeled. And then to listen to Sherry share the memories of how she used to go down. She lived in the house just to the south. It was just a short walk, and she would spend the night with Granny so she wouldn't be alone, and then in the morning get up and go back to her house and get ready for school and head on to school for the day. And to hear her talk about the memories that were in that house and seeing it again, how it brought back those memories that I don't share with her. You know, and we shared those pictures with her brother, and we were talking yesterday with some of her cousins, and they remember Granny's house and gathering there, all those grandkids. So we continually learn more about someone as we learn about the memories that they had. Here as Jesus is talking with the disciples in our scripture today, I'm sure they're remembering their last few years as they've been walking with Jesus, and these memories are coming, and Jesus even knows that they're concerned about what Jesus is saying, that he needs to die and he needs to leave. But he's reassuring them, but I have someone who's going to still know those memories. Someone who's just like me. And someone who can be with you and you can keep those memories alive. And he shares about the Holy Spirit's mission in our scripture today. He talks about sin, and he points out that the world refuses to believe, but the Spirit is going to work on convicting them about what sin is and how it separates them from God. He says the Holy Spirit is going to be there in the world to show us about righteousness and to share about the right actions that we need to take and how to be right with God. That's part of the Holy Spirit's mission. He's got a lot of things that he is about doing, but here Jesus is really homing in on three things here, and that third item is judgment. You know, he says Satan has already been condemned. God judges based on our acceptance of Jesus as Savior and Lord. And so we find that Jesus is showing them that the Holy Spirit is coming to continue the activity that Jesus started. And really, that God the Father had started even with the people of Israel, as we read about in the Old Testament. But Jesus is saying, just because I'm going doesn't mean the mission is stopping. And the Holy Spirit is coming to continue that mission, to continue to share about sin and the need to get right with God, so that our judgment will be based on our acceptance of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And they will, even from that point on, and even now today, the Holy Spirit is about creating history. And as he worked in their lives and continues to work in our lives. Jesus says in our scripture today that the Holy Spirit is the one who guides us to truth. He says he's not going to have his own words. And Jesus even has said that about himself in the Gospels as we read them. That Jesus said, I'm only sharing with you what God the Father has given to me to share. And he's saying the Holy Spirit's the same way. He's only going to be sharing the words that come and flow from the Father through the Son and the Spirit. There's a connection there between the throne of heaven and Jesus at the right hand of the throne of God. And the Holy Spirit, who is throughout the entire universe, but also within us. He's just not roaming around. The scriptures teaches that when we accept Jesus Christ, he comes into our hearts and into our lives. I like to see it as a spiritual house. That's the way my mind sort of defines it. And we each have this spiritual house where we invite Jesus in. And my prayer is that none of us just take Jesus in. Hey, welcome, Jesus. Would you come over here and sit at my picture window so that the rest of the world can see that I took you as Savior and Lord? But in reality is the Holy Spirit is the one who comes in and represents Jesus, because he is Jesus. He is the Father. As he comes in, I pray that we allow him into every room of our spiritual house. We allow him to be involved in every aspect of our lives. The Holy Spirit is not interested in just this hour or so that we share on Sunday morning. He's interested in the rest of today. He's interested Monday through Saturday. He's interested at every hour of what's going on in our lives. He's interested in and wants to be involved in the decisions that we need to make, whether it be about work or family or finances. He wants to be involved in the life of our families, our children and our grandchildren, in whatever way we can represent him and be a witness for him. And he does it in a way that, as Jesus mentions in to the disciples at the moment of his ascension, that this Holy Spirit's coming to give you power to be witnesses. And it's just not to the whole world, and it is, but it's to the people right around you that have been placed in your path. He wants us to allow the Holy Spirit to be involved in every aspect of our lives, no matter what it is. Even to be involved, as we think of that spiritual house, to be involved in the rooms we want to keep locked because we don't want anybody to know what's in there. And yet we forget that God already knows. And he would love to be allowed to help us clean it up. And so we need to understand the personal involvement of the Holy Spirit in our lives. As he guides us to truth. As he shares with us the words of God himself, because he is God. You know that they're all the same one. This third person of the Trinity. He's not the third person because he's an afterthought. He's the third person because there happens to be three. The Father, Son, and Spirit. But they're all the same. He's not a third wheel. He's not coming to mess up the Father's plans or the Son's plans. They all have the same plan because it all flows from the same being, God Almighty, who chose to break himself apart. I can't explain it. I can't give you all the details of why and all that. I just know he did it so that our human minds could better comprehend. We can better comprehend, and when it's broken into some pieces for us, and we we better understand that God the Father sitting on the throne in heaven. We better understand the Son who came in human form, became one of us. God himself became one of us, and we call him Jesus. And he died a human death, a physical death. But he rose again, a physical resurrection, because he's supernatural. And then we come to understand we're supernatural as well. And that's why the Holy Spirit resides within us. God himself is within us. They're all the same person. And God just chose to represent himself in three ways. Broken apart for our minds to comprehend. But definitely one in three. One person. Definitely three that we know and understand, and yet one. God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit's presence. It's God himself involved with his creation, mankind. It's been that way since the beginning. We can read in Genesis about the Spirit of God moving. We see him active in the Old Testament. Jesus speaks of him as one just like him. The same, just slightly different. He's not in human form, but he's the same because he is God. So I pray that we recognize that to say we have Jesus with us says we have the Holy Spirit with us, because they're one and the same. In the New Testament, we even read of the Spirit of Christ, who is the Holy Spirit. The words that came to my mind as I wanted to sort of close the message this morning was a contemporary song that's out by Kim Walker Smith, simply entitled Holy Spirit. And I just want to paraphrase some of her words. But she, as she shares those words in her song, this is speaking to the Holy Spirit, speaking to God, but saying, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Flood our lives with your presence. Show us your glory. It's what we long for. Just overcome us with your presence. Make us aware that you are here. Help us experience your goodness. I just love how she put those words together. To just simply say, Holy Spirit, Jesus, God, you are welcome here. Flood me with your presence. Overcome me. Make me aware that you're right here and I can experience your goodness. In our scripture today, we come to understand that Jesus asked for the Holy Spirit. He asked the Father to have him sent. And the Father sent him. And the question for us today is, will you accept him? Will you indeed welcome him into your life, into every aspect of your life? That's my prayer for each of us today. That not only have we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and invited him into our lives, but we've allowed him full access to every part of our life, that we might find ourselves in the very presence of God each and every day, being guided and directed to do his will. I hope you know the person of the Holy Spirit.